Radio Pulpit 657 AM, your daily companion.
Masimdumise rhoqo ngecawe ngo 5 o'clock ekuseni no Ayanda Nenemba. Siyathandaza, siyadumisa, sitya ilizwi nobungqina kuKristu. Let's praise him ku Radio Pulpit 657 AM.
657 AM Radio Pulpit coming to you live. We trust the Father is doing you well, blessing you so much in a mighty way. You and I are the best of friends. This is happening throughout up to the hour 8, Tuesday Live, the name of the show. My name is Ray. Welcome to it. And of course, thank you so much to Johan Els. It's been taking us through what's going on, something else. And also a joyride. For me, it's always a joyride. For those who are driving will understand what I mean when I say it is a joy ride. We will be touching base with Baruch Yah and also possibly with Professor Buyisong Dezi. Possibly, probably. If she has arrived home, she was driving home, and we'll touch base with her. But I haven't played this song for quite some time. This is from a very dear friend. Her name is Putuma Tiso, and the name of the song is I Won't Be Silent. If there's anything that wants to silence us from speaking the truth, we won't be silent. We will speak the truth regardless.
Be doers of the word with 657 AM. Sounds of Life.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
One of those artists that systems are trying so hard to silence, and she continues to stand firm and not give in to a compromise that people in the industry are doing and being signed up with these big bodies who start to say, we even want your soul for this. She has not given up that. And to a great extent, this is just what is amazing about her. All right. Remember, 2 weeks ago, Dima Kato called in and said, "Ish, this topic of deceptions, our topic was what is deception?" And she says, "This topic of deception is actually something that needs to go to part two, but we have already sequenced a program for the next 7 days. Like if you say we need to be doing a program, basically we would find ourselves really in some serious issue because we have already uploaded a program that we would do. Right. But that is not a problem. We can always change that. Now, I think also that we really need to look into deception from a variety of perspectives in that I've seen deception on a social platforms, on a social perspective, professionally, I've seen deception politically. I've seen deceptions spiritually. I've seen deceptions morally, culturally, traditionally. And I think the issue of deception is so broad that even today we might not finish it. So what I've done, I've opened up for next week that we do it, and I would shift the one that we are supposed to do next week. So, Dimakato, here it is. Now, at the right time, at the appointed time, deceptions of today is our theme on the issue of deception, what deceptions are all about. Now, the word says quite a lot with regards to this. It speaks about falsehoods. The word speaks about lying, and the word speaks about misleadings, you know, But deception also is when people are caused to believe a lie. Politicians speak about propaganda. And then deceptions also have some form of prevalence in the time that we live in. And that's the whole problem. Deception has a prevalence in the time that we live in. It is having its own kind of prevalence. In other words, it prevails somehow. And we have to look as to what is it that perpetuates this kind of prevalence. Let me welcome our guests. We have Professor Buyisondezi on the line from UJ in Johannesburg. I hope the water is back. Professor.
Yes, my brother. A blessed evening to you. A blessed evening to our listeners in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Yahushua HaMashiach. Yes, the weather is better this side. Everything is okay, except the work that is continually calling for our attention.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, by God's grace, we are managing. We are managing,
Welcome, Professor. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for
and
making
I'm also greeting my brother, my brother Baruch. I'm also greeting him in Cape Town, and I hope that the family is okay and everybody around him are well and covered by the blood of our Lord and Savior.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you.
Ahi, allow me to say Happy New Year.
There you go.
Allow me to say Happy New Year to you, to your household.
Thank you.
To Professor Bui, to her household, and also thanks for the greets, the warm greetings, and to our stakeholders, our shareholders. That is the beautiful listeners of Radio Pulpit. Ahi, the topic is so nice and interesting. And I'm saying Happy New Year because we're talking about deception.
Yeah.
And around the 31st December, the world enters into this frenzy, exciting mode of lighting the firelighters, barking New Year. Now, let us quickly listen to what the scripture says. The scripture says, Exodus chapter 12, and Masha and Yahweh Elohim spoke to Masha and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, the new moon, this new moon is the beginning of the new moons for you. It is the first new moon of the year for you. When you read down, you go down, number 11, it says, and this is how you eat it, gathered your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste because it is the Pasach. So when we go through this chapter and we read it, it shows that this is the time of the month where the Malachim of death passed over the children of Yasharab to destroy the enemy. So I'm raising this because you notice something, that the month that is holding Pasach, it is the month that is on the new year. And now, we are not counting according to what the Gregorian calendar or Pope Gregory tells us. The scripture says, on the 14th, which means I have to go outside, look at the moon, and count the cycle of the cycles of every day as I see the moon. And the 14th one, there it is Pasach for me. So this is now how we begin, and we expose these deceptions that are misleading, that we are finding today amongst our people. Also, the scripture that we also can look at, when you look at the book of Luke 22, verse 19 and 20, which says, and taking bread, giving thanks, he broke it and he gave them to you. This is my body, right? So we understand the story. I'm just summarizing. Because we used to call it the Last Supper.
Yeah.
Right? Now, How do we go to churches and celebrate the Pasach? And yet, we have an indication that it's called the Last Supper, because supper happens when? It doesn't happen, at least in the evening. So it just shows that we've been misled, we've been lied to.
Deceived.
You know, we've been deceived. Because at least we have an indication of even the event is at night, because the Malach passed through or passed over in the evening, that night, let me put it that way. So, but you find us filling up churches and celebrate what we are celebrating, deception.
I hear you quite well. If you just joined us, we are talking about deceptions of today, this being a part two of the program we had some 3 weeks back about what is deception, you know, what is deception. And so we are touching on that, the deceptions of today. And the word says quite a lot, Professor, with regards to this. Deception is also a falsehood that we are warned about. You know, we are warned about it, you know. And the word says in Proverbs 12, verses 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Elohim, but those who desire truth are his delight. We see that also. We see in Colossians chapter 3, verses 9, we are told in instructions, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. In other words, then, deception is the language of the old man, the language of death. If you could see when they say put off the old man, it means all the deeds of darkness and death, you know, that one had. So deception is actually a language of death. And many people don't actually look into it that way. We speak of deception from the perspective of what is happening, but we should also look into it from the perspective of what it is, so that we can address what is happening. Now, when you look at it again, in the word Revelations chapter 21, verses 8, it says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Like I said, it's a language of death. It's a language also of condemnation. When one speaks this, they are condemning themselves, and probably those who believe them, they also become condemned. It's a language of death. All right. I like people to read this in isiZulu, and then people bangkwatela, but I will read it here. Revelations 22, verses 15. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. So lying also, deception, it's a practice. That is why you see it taking prevalence. I'm going back to that word I used in the beginning. Taking prevalence in the ministries, in the churches. If you can look now, and I'm talking about believers, real believers, you would see there's some deception that is going on around them. You know, because the devil wants to discredit something tangible about them. That is why it is a practice, and then it is counted alongside murder and witchcraft. It's counted alongside murder and witchcraft and betraying, you know, or betrayals. That's why they speak of the word the cowardly, means those who will betray the faith. It's a language of those who betray the faith. Each and every time when someone goes on to deceive, they practice a betrayal on the faith. I know we can point at Patterson's and stuff, but I want us to point at what is it that they do when they do what they do. if you heard me quite well, if they continue to deceive, they are practicing sorcery. It's equivalent to sorcery and murder. They're basically killing their hearers. And above that, they are actually practicing a condemnation. And it is also a betrayal of their faith. That's why it's the cowardly. It's a betrayal of their faith. Every time when a pastor stands there, leader stands there, believer stands there, whosoever, a believer activist stands there and speaks that which is deceptive, they are betraying the faith. They are betraying the gospel. All right. This is just amazing. When you look into it, I want to stress this. If you can go also, you'd see, is it Psalms 19, verse 9? Verse 5 and verse 9. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies shall perish. It is also a language of death. Every time when they speak this and people follow them, false miracles, whatever it is, lies on giving and whatever it is, they actually are speaking and pronouncing death upon their hearers. They are betraying the faith. They are planting a seed of cowardice. And we know deception, lying, is basically founded in the resources of the devil. He's the father of all lies. Romans 8:44 says that. Professor, what comes to mind?
Thank you very much, my brother. Let me greet everyone again in the glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Yahushua HaMashiach. Yeah, it is a very painful thing that is happening, deception, because it has been accepted as a norm, and people have taken it as a lifestyle. And you quickly find brows being reason when you're telling this is a lie, because it has been accepted as something that is common and usual. Mm. So falsehood is what the enemy is using to destroy the lives of people, to take people from where they should be to where the enemy wants them to be. And he uses the tongue, falsehood, he uses this evil weapon. So I want to go to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 5 to 7. So I'm just going to read probably the two verses there that sort of speak about what you're talking about. It says, everyone will deceive his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. And it says, your dwelling place is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me, says the Lord. So I'm bringing this scripture to say everybody, or let me say most of the people, have taken deception as the standard of life, particularly if they want to get their way through or if they want to get things done. They think the way of doing it is through deceiving others, and they've even trained their tongue to speak lies. And they've spoken lies so much long that they don't even realize it, and lies have become truth, because they've taught their tongue to speak lies, and they've used it to open doors to get what they want. And we are being warned by God here, saying, you are dwelling amongst those who are deceitful. Your dwelling place is in the midst of deceit. So if believers are not aware that where we are, the majority of what we come across or the people we associate with are already in that cloud, and they've taken deceit and falsehood as their lifestyle, we as believers will end up being contaminated and live the same kind of life. You said earlier on deception is about the betrayal of faith. It is very true that statement is a betrayal of faith, because as you hear these deceptions and lies over and over again, they end up creating a lifestyle to you, in the same way that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you would continue hearing a lot of lies and deception, they end up creating a certain kind of a lifestyle to you, and the way that you would be channeled, and you would be conforming to that kind of a lifestyle. and which is what now will dictate your actions afterwards. And we see this over and over again in our workplaces. When people want their way in, when they want to receive something, when they want to get favor, they use this as a means to open their doors. It is unfortunate that it does not end there. It even comes into the house of God. When Isaiah was saying this to God, when God was calling him, he said, Lord, woe unto me because I am undone, and I'm a man of an unclean spirit, because this deception is people get contaminated by such. You dwell amongst people of such, then you get contaminated. And then Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 4 to 6, he says, Lord, I am undone because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I also dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. So he realized that even though I could be a clean in my own right or try to live a clean life, but the fact that I keep on hearing lies, and sometimes I'm unable to discern that some of the things that I'm hearing, I'm being deceived and I'm being made to do things that I wouldn't be doing had I known the truth. And he cried for mercy. He cried to God to be the one who will intervene in that case. And when God has to intervene, he needs to give us, as his people, the spirit of discernment, that he may open our eyes, he may open our ears, that he may be able to see, because we are being groomed around such an environment. Our children are groomed around such an environment. And when you associate with people wanting things from you, they will come and bring false information. You spoke about this as a form of murder. If someone has killed your understanding, killed your perception, that person has killed you, because your future is dependent on your thoughts and what you know. It is from what you know that you would be able to make a decision and implement your lifestyle and the work with the Lord. So if you don't have the right information, you've been deceived with what you've been given. So it means your whole life has been taken down the drain. You've been killed alive. So it is truly a form of killing people. And it is a weapon of taking people from God to where the enemy wants them by channeling and transforming their minds by the information that is given unto them. You quoted a beautiful verse, which is almost known by everybody, that we are of our father, the devil, because he speaks from his own resources, which are the lies. So in other words, if we are speaking that without us recognizing that what we are saying is even lies, that means we've gotten so much acquainted with the language of the enemy that we don't even see that we're speaking out of the abundance of what he has offered to us. But without that spirit of discernment, we find ourselves falling into that trap. Mm. So we end up killing people whom we are speaking to, because we have a platform to speak to them, and we end up transforming their lives, and we're shaping their lives by the deception, which we are also deceived by. So the solution to this would be for us to firstly ask for God spirit of discernment, that you may be able to hear and be able to decide against what we hear, and that will also help us. Secondly, we need to be careful of who we associate with. Be careful of who talk to your life, because those people who talk to your life, they can channel your whole decision-making capacity and your life as a whole, and you can also do the same because of that knowledge that you have received through deception.
I hear you quite well. If you just joined us, we are talking about deception, what it is even all about, what the word says with regards to it, things to be careful about, and some of the perspectives on deceptions that we overlook, because it's such an emotional topic. We really need to get deep into this now. Deception also is a prerequisite to being destroyed. We are opening up a leeway for destruction even upon our own lives. Psalms 5 verse 6 says, "You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Elohim abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man." A deceiver is here equaled and compared to a bloodthirsty man, a killer. a killer, a serial killer, a bloodthirsty man. Deception is equated to that. A call for destruction. Those who believe it, those who go with it, and those who basically do it are on a path towards destruction. And those who practice it are actually equivalent to murderers, serial killers. It means, it says they are bloodthirsty. Bloodthirsty. And the father abhors them. Mayachi.
Yes. Shalom and Tuda, Ahi, once more. Thank you for that. Truly, Ahi, what you've said, it is, you are spot on. It is an automatic disqualification. We have to remember that there is a race that we have to run till to the finish. And in this race that we run, we are going to be crowned according to our deeds. So in us loving our Father, our Creator, with mind, body, and soul, it would mean that we no longer look outside elsewhere, but only to Him. And it should be Him. He shares no esteem. So when you look at the book of Matthew chapter number 6, we've been told that you can't serve two masters at a time. You will either love one and you will despise one. So when we are believers, or when we say we are believers, and then here we are, we keep on attracting, or we keep on doing this falsehood, we keep on being like these bloodthirsty men. We are truly digging our own hole or graves. As you correctly indicated, it is a prerequisite to be destroyed. So, which means we need to have discernment, we need to have truth, we need to be separated, because also the scripture teaches us light and darkness cannot mix. So when we start to have the understanding of that, to say deception is equated or likened to be like darkness, to be like evil, to be like wickedness, to be like that of falsehood and bloodthirsty men, we cannot be found there. We cannot. If we say we love Allah, we need to be conscious of what we are doing. We need to be reading scriptures, and after reading is that we put into practice what we have studied in the Word. Because if we just read it for the sake of reading, like, you know, as if it's a magazine or a newspaper, then it means it's all toil for nothing. We've wasted our time. But the important thing is for us to say, in all that we have been identified, do we choose to be dogs that will be shut outside, or will we be allowed to enter the rain? Now, when you look at there was a word that I got to share about, which is number two. Number two word is called Shanai. And Shanai is a simple word which means two. And when you read in the Lashawan, which is the Ibar language, you find that two represents the letter B in the alphabet. That is why we say A and we say Ba. So now, it is a house. It is a place of assembly. And now, Abba, in creating this, because the language has got numeric, it is alphanumeric. So in him speaking, basically what he's saying is that I have created two or a double. So why do I say that? The first one that he built it starts to have Hashatan entering and going to deceive in the garden, and man loses the esteem. And now, but Abba says, it is okay. I will come and renew this covenant. And in the book of Revelation 21, he explains that this one that I'm rebuilding will be different from the rest. Because what will make it different? There won't be any death. There won't be any pain. There won't be any evil or wickedness, because that would have been destroyed with the old. And those that are not of him would have been destroyed with the old. Revelation 21, we see a new Jerusalem coming down. And he says, let me read it quickly. He says, let me quickly read that my up. It's my different scripture. The things are short, right? So when you want to do this one, you use the other one and all that, right? So Revelation 21 says, quickly, I saw the renewed heavens and the renewed earth, for former heavens and the former earth had passed away. So something has happened. There is a destruction. So now, us doing falsehood, us choosing to follow the opposite of the laws and the commands of Abaya, this is what we are calling for ourselves, that now there is a destruction of such. And it says, and the sea is no more. And I, John, saw the Kadash city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of the heavens from Elohim, prepared as an adorned bride for her husband. And I heard the voice from the heaven saying, see, the booth of Elohim is with men. He shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and he shall be their Elohim. And he himself shall be their Elohim, right? He will be with them as their Elohim. And Elohim shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no more be death, no mourning, no crying, no pain, for the former has passed away. So, notice this time. He now says, I'm dwelling in this land with them. The first, the chapter 3 of Genesis, he's not there. He comes and he asks Adam, where are you? So the difference now is that he says, I've built two, but right now I've exposed one, which now got to be contaminated, which now started to have all these whatever that we see on earth. You know, adultery, idolatry, all this lies we're talking about, all the deceptions encompassed. But now, you and me, if we want to be the residents of the new city where there is no death and all those nice things that we spoke about, we have to earn it. And earning it means we have to leave this what contaminates us, so that we can qualify, so that our names can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When they look at our deeds in the course of the heavens, they can say, Pastor Ray, you qualify, you passed, and then you graduate by receiving a crown, because you would have earned the walk on earth. You would have, we would live according to the ways that esteems Abba Yahawah. So that is the mindset we need to start to apply, to start to seek him with our all, and to be able to ask for revelation, to be able to see and discernment what is of the truth and what is that is of lies. Let me end it there.
I hear you quite well. If you just joined us, we are talking about deception, what it is even all about. And of course, you can send us your WhatsApps, 082657-2729, defining deception. And of course, this is something that we see in the churches now. It's better to learn about it and make your own choice, you know, and say, okay, I stay where I'm being deceived, or what. I don't know. But after learning about it, it's better because then you know what is going through into your soul, you know. Now, let me bring this to you again, Professor. When we talk about deception, this is amazing. In Jeremiah 7:28, it says, "So you shall say to them, this is a nation that does not obey the voice of the Elohim, nor receive correction. Truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth." It's like having no tongue of truth. It's like your tongue being cut out. Because it's a nation that does not even obey. So this is a nation that does not obey the voice of the Elohim. Deception is one of the highest signs of disobedience to the voice of the Father. Look, if you're in a ministry where you're being deceived, there is a likelihood that there is the highest disobedience when it comes to the instructions of the Father. Perhaps the Father is telling the people, the church goes that way, and they continue to say, no, our vision is this way. Just pop out the money, our vision is this way. You know? They don't basically speak that which is from the Word, because then the Word will judge them, so they would speak that which comes from them. Amazing. Mm. And this also says, the truth has been cut off from their mouth. It's a death of a testimony that would ever come from such people. They can never testify concerning the Messiah. Even if they can congregate in their tens of thousands, they can never. It's been cut out. It's like losing the tongue of truth. Professor?
Wow, this is very scary.
Yeah, we said we will define it. We were talking very light about it the other week.
Yes, but now it's getting more and more deep as I'm listening to what you are saying, that this deception is about us disobeying God.
Mm.
This verse you read, this nation does not obey the voice of
the Most
High, the Lord their God, nor receive correction.
Mm.
It is a practical verse, because right now, an average believer, when you talk to him about the Word, they are able to justify why they don't do it. They are able to give you reasons why they don't have to obey the Word fully, because they are translating the Word into their times and to their circumstances without applying the Word. I hope this statement makes sense. So they look at what their life demands are, and they want to change the Word to fit into their lifestyle. Whatever the Word says, they don't mind, they don't care, because it is not what it says about their lifestyle. So in other words, the voice of the Lord has no say, has no control, cannot have the final word into their lives, which is very, very bad, because none of us can be corrected and guided by the Word, which is what we see today. It reminds me of what is said in the book of Matthew, where it says, in the last day there shall be an increase in false prophets. They speak as though they have heard from the Lord, although they know that they are speaking from their own desires and their own needs. And in so doing, because they are using the Word of the Lord, they are deceiving many into doing what they want to do.
Mm.
So one of the definitions of deception, from what I'm hearing is being discussed here, is what we say with our mouth but not confirmed by our actions. So it's like we will say a thing that we are not going to follow up with our lifestyle. So we are deceiving those who are watching us, those who are saying, who are watching and listening to us. We find this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. Let me quickly read it, because we say things and we demand that people must live in accordance to what we say, but we ourselves, we are not living according to the Word of God. It's like we point the direction. We have become a road sign. We just point the direction, but none of us go there. So that's also the form of deception.
Mm.
It says, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and truth is not in him.
Yeah.
We portray this picture of knowing more about God, knowing more about the word, because we stand on the altars of the pulpit preaching as though we have heard from him, whereas we have not been at the feet of Yeshua hearing what he says, which is a very problematic issue, that those who speak more about him are no longer sitting at the feet to hear what he says. They are busy about the work of God, but they have not heard what God has said, and they do things that people think they have heard from him. So as we said earlier on, that deception is about saying things that you know you are not going to do, and also is about saying things that you have said they come from him, whereas you know they're not coming from him. So it's like you speak in your own mind to people, and you speak those things in the name of the Lord, which is lying. So which is where false prophets come in, and that false prophecy also talks about us as saying the Lord has spoken. And the book of Jeremiah speaks more about this. They continue, they prophesy about me, saying I have said, whereas I have not said anything. I have not sent them. That is all deception that take the people of the Lord astray. Let me go back to the book that you quoted, Colossians. You quoted Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 in particular. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. So I'm trying to look at this verse and say, what is it that makes us continually lie, continually deceive people, continually live in falsehood? To me, according to the scripture, it says, we have not taken off the old man. We refuse to separate from the old man. In fact, the old man is so tasteful to us that it is very hard to detach from him. And this clothing of the old man keeps on dictating the terms of what we will say and how we would live. So a lying heart, a lying tongue, and a lying mind is simply an indication and a signal that that kind of a person has not yet taken off the old man. He is still under the rulership and the control of the old man, and he's using the old man for his own benefit, that he may lure many people to him and take more people out of the kingdom of God into the kingdom of darkness, which is what we as the children of God have to fight. Because when we continue allowing such to happen, it means the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, will end up having lesser people, because the deceivers are increasing on the other side. And these are the things that we need to discern, and we need to see, and we need to be able to preach against, so that God and his glory will be glorified by what and will be coming from the true lips of God that will speak the truth.
I hear you. We're taking your calls. You can give us a shout. Talk to us directly there. 012-334-1322. You can also send us a WhatsApp, 082-657-2729. And let's hear what you say. Mandle Nkosi, thank you so much. Says, good evening, Pastor. I'm listening. MJ Mbata. To MJ Mbata. Thank you so much, Mandle Nkosi. And Prince Mabuya says, greetings, Baruti. Yebana. We greet you. We just mere brothers and sister. We greet you. We greet you. We salute you humbly. Thank you so much for tuning in. We give the Father the glory. We are talking about deception, and we are trying to define this process, so that people know what is happening to them when they're being lied to. It should not be just an agitation because one has lied and you discovered that. But it's also the damage that they have brought in into people's souls, even into your soul, even into mine, if we have listened to that, you know, without noticing. This is why we really need to be weary of it and define it for what it is, so that we can get also the divine perspective, or the perspective of the Most High, with regards to it. So you can send us your WhatsApps, 082-657-2729. Talk to us directly there. Let's hear what you say.
Sihamba ngokholo kunye nawe apha eRadio Pulpit 657 AM. Umhlobo wakho wemihla ngemihla.
There you go. And let me bring this to you, Maya. When we speak of deception, we are speaking about a captivity, a capture. When you're in a ministry where they deceive you, you are being captured. Maybe people will understand quite well when I say that. Now, check it out. Psalms 120, verse 2. It says, deliver my soul, O Elohim, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Deliver me. It means you've been captured, possessed. When someone practices deception on you, they are possessing your soul. That's why he says, that deliver my soul. Deception is a capturer of souls. My Achi.
Indeed, my Achi, I agree with what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And we see the deception that has made man to fall mm-hmm. from the beginning in the garden. So we know that there's a master who is of lying, who comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. Mm. So, there is a crown that is awaiting, and now what he wants is to have this crown stolen. Mm. So now what will happen is that we end up following things that are leading us to the pit, to hell. Mm. And these things are so attractive. These things are so enticing that, you know, it's difficult to, you know, you need to have the will to say, you know what, I'm not doing this. But outside it is so attractive that it makes you to start to reason, you know, and the minute you start to reason, it's over. Mm. It's over the minute you start to reason, because he brings in a deception into your heart. We can remember the story when Shatan meets the Messiah after he finished to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. And now he says, since you are hungry, you know, turn these stones into food, into bread, right? Because you are in need at the time. He realizes the weakness and he says, I'm going to use and seize that opportunity. And now, depending on Khuri, he finds one at their weakness. And now it's where the test comes to say, we are seeing Khuri as our weakest. Who are we truly? Life is only nice when you have these things. But now, when you suddenly don't have employment, you've been employed all these years. Suddenly now, people have a horror and all that. But when you were on the other side, it was all nice. You know? So now we need to be delivered, because truly our souls are in the pit. That is what he wants us. He wants with us. But now we have one redeemer. All we need to do is to reach out to our Redeemer, to our Savior, to our Messiah, to say, hey, because his name means deliverance. That is why we call him Yahweh Shai, or we say Yahusha, because it is about to save. That word means to save. So we say, it means Yahuwah saves. The Almighty, the Creator, he's the one that saved me. Psalm 124 as well is the scripture that we can read and look upon. So we need to be delivered from that truly. Let's look at the scripture in the book of 1 Kings chapter 11, number 5. The scripture says, and Solomon or Shalaman went after Astaroth, the mighty one of the Sidonians. Now, many people may not know who Astaroth is. Astaroth is what today we call Easter.
Mm.
Right?
Easter.
It's what we call today Easter, Easter holidays. This is what we are talking about. Now, listen, it says, the mighty one of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Thus Solomon did the evil in the eyes of Abba Yahweh and did not follow Abba Yahweh completely like his father David.
Mm.
So we are celebrating these things that are brought to us so nicely, and we may speak about them all the time, but it's for people to be able to hear. I think one of the ladies was speaking of Valentine's last time. We spoke of deception, and we have your Mother's Day, your Father's Day. To us, we see it as something that Leo can tell Mama for dear, or Mama is expecting to receive the slippers whatsoever. But is it something that is scriptural, or we just picking things that we do not know where they come from? I want to return back specifically to the issue of Easter. During Easter, we have the Easter eggs which are sold.
Mm.
Do we know and understand what these are all about, or do we just buy? And by buying, it means we are participating. The same way as we are doing when we are lighting fireworks, Kagadi 31, and the Western, we are celebrating idolatry.
Mm.
Now, the Easter one is this. The reason why we said Easter is because this Astaroth or this Easter is a goddess of fertility. So, Bana, Nabatwakati, Wabatuli, Wababulaiwa as well, as a part of a sacrifice.
Mm.
So, the egg is a symbol of fertility.
Yeah.
Now, that is what the world gets to celebrate. We get to be so excited that the enemy will start even to rub and rename, like we say, he creates his own Passover and he calls it Good Friday. Because it's not even aligned to the scriptures. So the book of I wanted to look at the book of Psalm 104, number 19, which says, he made the moon to mark the season. The sun knows when to set. So this means when we are needing to know the seasons, we cannot be looking at the calendar that we have been told, yeah, Gregory and yeah, Julia, but we have to be looking at the moon. Hence, when I started by greeting and saying, Happy New Year, to be able to show or to make us aware of it. We look at the moon. If somebody comes and put a mindset that is leading our souls to hell. The book of James chapter 3, number 1 says, not many of you should become teachers, which the ones which are self-constituted censors and reprovers of other, my brethren. For you know that we teachers will be judged by a higher standard and with great severity than other people. Thus, we assume the greater accountability and the more condemnation. So, we need to be careful. That is why in the scripture they said, we prophesied in your name. And he says, but I do not know you. This is what the scripture is talking about, identifying these people of false lips, these bloodthirsty people that are contrary to the words of Abba Yahweh. Aman. Mm.
Aman. We are taking your calls. You can give us a shout. Talk to us directly there, 012-334-1322. We need to hear from you as to what you make of this. Deceptions today. The nature of deceptions, or the deceptions of today, it's imperative that we define this, not just talk about it, but define this, so that people can understand the kind of poison this is.
Yongeza ilizwi lakho kweli lethu, sikumamele yaye sifuna ukuva izimvo zakho. Ungathumela kugospel@radiopulpit.co.za okanye uthumele umyalezo wakho ku WhatsApp ku 082-657-2729.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729 and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.